You got the rock in your hand. You're under pressure, son. You better sink this J,
or your team is done.
I got a little story about some basketball. When it comes to my player, are you rock or nah? But wait just a minute and listen first, as I get some shit off my chest and I finish this verse. Let me start with you cheesers. Y'all should just fade. With LaMarcus on quick, hitting threes all day. When you cowboy hat, you might be the worst. Wearing them puffy ass jackets, man, you almost be cursed. Then there's the manual pajamas with the jump shot of who? I bet it's Kyle Korver. That would make sense, dude. But enough about apparel, that won't get you in trouble. Just stand on up and do that 2K shuffle.
Back and back, I do the 2K shuffle.
Greetings, we are.
Greetings.
Well,
we are. Well.
Greetings, we are.
Just gonna
well.
Echo you. Sorry.
Hey. Lucky, you got a little hyped up before the show. It's totally understandable.
I was trying to do something. To contribute to the intro in an interesting way, but didn't really work out.
Well, I'll tell you, we are a little over a month away from the release of NBA 2K18. Hurry up some more and wait a little bit longer. I am one of your hosts. My name is Michael Parr, a.k.a. J. Parr Swish, a.k.a. Jump Shot Jesus, Mikey Chameleonaire. I've never taken a shot that I did not like. And with me is the Baron of Blocks and Boards, Boards and Blocks, Maxwell Ebenezer McDonald. Max, what's going on?
I feel like you've used Ebenezer before. I'm not really sure. Not saying that you're being redundant, just that maybe it could be realistically my name. And furthermore, can you explain to me the Mikey Chameleonaire?
Hold on. Maxwell. Jebediah McDonald.
No, I was legitimately, you don't need to redo my intro now, man. I was just pointing it out that I liked, I don't know, whatever. But tell me about Mikey Chameleonaire. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, I basically was in there just kind of going to change my name. I'm like, let's just look through the list of names. And I see Chameleonaire. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. And I, you know,
really?
But he's like, Chameleonaire. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, all right. What goes with Chameleonaire? How about Mikey? So I went Mikey Chameleonaire. And that's who I am as of right now.
Yeah, I
so,
didn't realize that was like a real name or anything. I just, every time you say it, I think about the rapper who I was Chameleonaire, but maybe it's Chameleonaire. I don't know. But there's a rapper with that name. And every time you say it, it just... It just makes me laugh.
Right, but you know what he did not write?
The 2K Shuffle?
True, that and Boats and Hoes. So, Boats and Hoes. You gotta do what you can do. Anyway, on this show, we're gonna talk a little bit, actually a lot of it, about just defense in general. But before we get into that, we're gonna talk a little bit about the player models comparisons of NBA 2K17. And NBA 2K Uno Ocho.
Live from Las Vegas, it's the Las Vegas International Dodgeball Open here on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
Now, if you haven't seen them, there are a couple of players that are out there. Ben McLemore, Dwight Howard, D'Angelo Russell, and Gordon Hayward are the four that I saw. Basically, I know Max has touched a little bit about this in the past, that you know, it looks better, but I'm going to go a step further and tell you, they're pretty off the chain, man. They look a lot better. Color contrast is better. You can see wrinkles in the jersey. You know, Nike's taking over. The Hornets actually have the Jordan logo on the jersey instead of the Nike jersey. And I just think the players look way more realistic than they did in games past.
Yeah. One of the other ones that we've seen is Porzingis. I mean, people, just any of the ones that they've put out, people have made comparison photos and what have you. Everyone's flipping out about Porzingis' wrinkly elbow and all that BS. But, yeah, I mean, I would agree. The renders look a lot better. You know, it's interesting because every single year it's like, oh, the photos look so good. Everything looks so good compared to the last year. Oh, last year looked trash compared to this. But then we get to the next year and it's like, oh, wow, how did we think that was good? So, you know, again, we've got 18 looking fantastic. The one thing that strikes me this year is it really does actually seem like a significant improvement. It really does seem like it's like, oh, you know, you kind of look at some of these photos and you're just going, oh, that's, but you almost, I looked at one of DeMar DeRozan. There was a DeMar DeRozan comparison as well. And that was like one of the first players they released for 18. And it actually almost looked like a photograph. I mean, it really did look really realistic. The one thing about him is, let's just see how it plays in game. Once you get the players moving around and everything, it's going to look obviously like a video game, I would assume. But yeah, I mean, it still is impressive.
Indeed. And they got the mixed colors right, which you could tell from the Porzingis player model. About time getting that shit down to snuff.
What was with that blue?
I don't know.
It just wasn't even correct.
No, and like the white jerseys, like the orange that's on the white jerseys always was like way lighter than it should be. I don't get it, but maybe it was, maybe they sent a little message out to each of the franchises and asked for a color sample, and maybe if Phil Jackson was responsible last year for giving them the mixed color, which would explain a lot.
I'm going to blame him for that too.
probably came in the email form of a triangle symbol with like, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, a little less
about that. Phil Jackson. His name is actually Phil Chamillionaire Jackson. Wow, what a dick.
No, we can't give Phil Jackson props. It'd be more like Phil Quadriangular Jackson. I don't fucking know. He's just not important anymore. In fact, you said that all of his coaching championships, you know, in the past, are pretty much up to having Jordan and Kobe and really involved no coaching skill, and a lot of people agree with you.
I said that. However, yeah, he just gifted some pretty good players.
All right. So let's talk about something that is probably vitally important to anyone who plays NBA 2K My Player especially, and that is the art of defense. Defense is something that will win you ball games, and it's also a tactic that can be played many different ways. But most importantly, individual defense pays off, and knowing what to do when thrown different looks, such as screens, which is my biggest pet peeve in the world, and, you know, other things you just need to know as a mod player and what you should do. Now, I want to hit this area up with you first, Max. Let's just kind of talk about the park and defense as it is. Now, I think you and I are on the same page, but in the park, for any reason, no matter what the reason is, individually, I mean, not counting screens, but you should never, ever, ever help in the park.
Yeah, I mean, park is a very, like I've said many times, arcade-y, I like to use that phrase, mode. In saying that, most players can make any shot, so you really just can't help off anybody.
Indeed. And what's really important, especially, like you're playing against somebody like me when I have my sharpshooter, you can't leave me for a second. It doesn't matter where I am. If I'm bringing the ball up and I'm at half court and you're less than an arm length away, I'm pulling and I'm going to hit 80% of the time. The thing is, with sharpshooters, you can't leave them. It's just the way life is in the park. Now, we mentioned screens and what to do and what not to do in screen situations. Now, there's many, many things that you can do to combat screens defensively. But the most important thing is the people that you play with all have to be on the same page. If you're getting screened, the screener's man can show on one end. That person can also hedge so that you can go under the screen, you can go over the screen. Most important thing, especially when you see, if you're playing two-on-two with a glass screener and a sharpshooter, get on the same page and know what to do. Because hands down, by the time you figure out if what you're doing is correct, you literally could be a shot away from being done.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have three options. One option is to switch everything, which is a valid option. Another option is to show over the top, which is what we kind of like to say a lot, especially in pro-am, we'll do that more. In park, we switch more. I think it's just a personal preference for us, but, you know, the screener's man will show over the top, over the side of the screen, so that the ball handler can't just pull a shot, especially if it's a sharpshooter. And then while the screen demand is fighting through that screen, and then the other guy who showed drops down to not allow the screener to roll. Or you have a bit unrealistic of a method that it works in 2K, in that you can just play sides of the screen. this seems to be a pretty popular method for a lot of people too. Basically, whatever side the defender of the ball handler is on of the screen, he just takes that side. The screener's defender takes the other side of the screen. Basically, wherever the ball handler goes is who ends up taking him, and the other guy drops down or wherever needed to pick up the screener. Basically, this works because it doesn't get either of you sucked into the screen animation. If you just play the sides and don't try to fight through it at all, you won't get sucked in. Especially don't hold left trigger because that will suck you in. I still hold left trigger a bit, but I make sure that I'm spaced enough away from the screen so that it doesn't drag me in. And essentially, yeah, you just play the sides, which in real basketball doesn't work as much because it's just not a realistic strategy, especially if you have someone like Steph Curry or even any of those major guards.
Who is Steph Curry? Fuck Steph Curry. Light-skinned bitch. Push that bitch. He ain't shit. He just a bitch. Shooting up threes. Can't take it to the hole because he a bitch.
Bitch on my dick. Yeah, his daughter is ugly as fuck. And his son look like a mutt. Oh my gosh, I did it. But if you have any of those guards who can shoot deep, you really do have to show up top or double the ball or what have you. But those are the three major strategies you can employ in 2K, and really any of them will work if you execute them properly. You just have to have proper communication, like Mike was saying, within your team to execute that defense.
And I'm a big fan, you know, especially if the guy I'm guarding, if he is the one that is putting up the screen, if it's a glass cleaner in this case. I like the sag under just to allow the roll man, or actually the guy who's benefiting from the screen, allow that defender just to go between me and the guy setting the screen, especially if it's a playmaker or someone fast, especially if they got stick skills to get back and forth, because then that way you ultimately win when you have someone like a glass cleaner who, in general, can't make deep shots depending on what patch is out there in 2K17 at the time.
Well, I was going to say that is accurate, especially when we've been playing with some random teams or whatnot where you're not really communicating on some defensive schemes. That is one thing that I definitely noticed early on, because my playmaker was my first archetype, and then I had that lockdown defender point guard. With the lockdown defender, I just kind of fought through screens, did whatever I needed to do. But with the playmaker, he was actually still good on defense. He was only he is only 6'3", so I have max speed.
Of course you do.
Yeah, right. And like you said, I was actually able to run below some of these screens. It's just I was fast enough where I could just run around the screens, basically, or run over the screens, not fight through them. But I was, it's just that character's fast enough. So basically, you have to take advantage of your player's athleticism, whether it be fast, or if you're a stronger player to kind of bully people, or if you're slower, then know how to play off that, not make as many gambles, or not, you know, it just, you really have to just play to your player's strengths.
Absolutely, and especially when it comes to the park, knowing the archetype of which the person you are guarding is something that's helped me a lot this year. Especially, you know, if you're on a slower archetype, like if I'm playing with my sharpshooter, my off-ball speed's like a 76, somewhere in there. If I'm playing a playmaker, I'm not playing up on him. I'm not getting my ankles broke. I am going to, A, make him prove that he can hit a three-pointer, so I'm going to give him his space. And, B, I'm just going to let him drive into me. You want to dribble in circles? Like we've always said, you're the guy that dribbles in circles and takes the whole shot clock up. Nobody likes you at all whatsoever. And you can do that all you want, because I'm just going to stand there and watch you dribble back and forth. If you are if you're a slasher also, and I'm guarding you, I don't respect anything except for you driving inside. And that's one thing as a slasher a lot of people don't do. Hit those mid-range shots. You're going to get baskets if you've got people playing smart defense. In the park, I find shot creators are probably the most difficult to defend, because regardless of contact, they tend to make a lot of baskets. And, you know, that's just one of the big things are, A, don't be intimidated regardless of the archetype that you're going up against. Just have a game plan of how to play against it.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, somewhat with the playmakers, I mean, especially in park, playmakers can just hit three after three, especially if they're a good one. But like you said, a lot of times we'll just make them prove they can hit one or what have you. But furthermore, you can play off those guys so you don't get your ankles broken, and you can close out on a shooter pretty quickly if you're prepared to play proper defense. So if you're giving him that space and he goes to pull up for a shot, you're able to close out and still get a proper, you know, shot contest.
Well said, just like Semisonic, closing time.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the
it is time to close out, because one thing of this game is definitely wishy-washy on. You may shoot a ball and release the ball, and the ball might be in flight to the basket. So if the person defending you runs into you, you're going to miss the basket every single time. I don't know what you want to call that, either designer error or developer error, whatever, what have you. You can call it
developers.
Indeed. And, you know, if you don't want to get wanged, you know.
I think a lot of people, we talk about my Steph Curry references.
Steph Curry.
Kind of just throw that in there. I think a lot of people probably don't know what that reference is from. And it's actually a video, if you just look it up on YouTube, and it's our good old friend Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers. And it's just an interesting video. You'd have to take a look. But he gets all, you know, he gets all sweaty and hyped up with all of his speeches and things. But it's a video where he's talking about developers and he gets all flustered. But
Yes. Indeed. Now, let's go to the pro-am side of the defensive world. Talk a little bit about the most important aspect of playing defense in the pro-am is what?
Well, I think it would just be to have a good defensive system. I mean, you have to recognize what the opposing team's strategy is and kind of attack it or sit off it, just depending on how you're going to play it. But especially more so than Park, because Park can be pretty random. It's more space. There's the whole court for only three people, where you're kind of just spacing out, doing some other motions, and maybe playing two-man ball or whatever. With Pro-Am, you really have to run either a set offense or there's five people on the floor. So you really have to run something consistent or smart or whatever, which leads to
you don't have to lie to our defense. Audience.
What?
There's 10 people on the floor, not five.
Five on a team.
We'll chalk it up to your pre-show hype up. You wanna be down. But let me ask you, is it more cognizant of players to... I say this because we play with a couple of glass players, and these glass cleaners kind of get annoyed when they have to defend a stretch big. Now, I think it's because, you know, I have to get a million rebounds or I'm not going to have any fun. But you really don't have to go on them. Like, especially stretch bigs, you can be an arm length away and still be able to play solid defense and get back to the hoop. Do you think it's just, what do you think the reason is that drives glass cleaners nuts? Because I don't think stretch bigs are all that fast or much faster than glass cleaners. And it's not like they can move with the ball. So what would your take be?
Stretch bigs are not faster than glass cleaners. I think, maybe they are slightly if they are, but you know what? I think glass cleaners actually have more athleticism points on the bars. Anyway, whatever. That's not an issue. Stretch bigs do have some kind of glitch dribble moves. And once there was the playmaker dribble move glitch and some of that earlier that some of them have, but whatever. The issue I think they have is a glass cleaner wants to be down near the paint. They want to control the paint. They want to get every rebound. That is what the archetype is about. And so when you have to go out and guard a stretch big, it just kind of, I think, maybe throws you off your game plan a little bit. It's not so much that it's just a nuisance. It's not something you can't defend. It's just more so of a nuisance. And that's why it drives some of those guys crazy, because it's just something they want to play a big man to play like a true big man. And not that there aren't stretch bigs, and especially in today's NBA, most players can shoot, but I just think being a big man has a different feel to it than, oh, I'm a stretch big, I don't know, that's kind of my take on it.
So what you're basically saying is, you know, suck it up and go out there, because we don't want to give up 3 points because your pride is hurt.
Yeah, pretty much. But we try to switch the matchup to where appropriate, and sometimes we'll play zones. I mean, it's not a huge issue, but if we are trying to play man on it against a team, that's kind of where it comes in. He has to guard, because maybe we all have sharpshooters, or we all have matchups that wouldn't be beneficial for a left winger to guard. I mean, you just kind of have to do it sometimes. I mean, the stretch big won't be able to post you up inside. You should be able to take advantage of stretch big's lack of strength inside and some of the other things on the offensive glass and some of those things where if you are running a stretch big as your center, especially, that you can take advantage of that.
I tend to agree, but in the chaotic world of walk-on pro-am, people generally don't have the we're going into a zone kind of shit, because you might have a few friends, but you're generally matched up with randoms, and randoms are 93% of the time terrible. And I feel like, at the very least, it's taking you out of the paint, but you're also guarding somebody that's not in the paint. And while that might be a pain in the ass, like, I feel it's the opposite way on the other end, because you could, like you said, with your strength and your weight and shit, you can throw yourself around down there, bang on the glass, get boards, and what have you. Now let's talk a little bit.
Walk on. There's no defensive strategy, kind of like you were saying. I mean, that's kind of a different beast. I mean, walk-on's just kind of random and who you get if you're not playing with the full team. But
now, we've all had to deal with the three people setting screens while a sharpshooter shoots. Basically, I think the easiest way to eliminate that is to play the 3-2. What say you, sir?
Yeah, it really just kind of depends. Even a 3-2, if you set the screens properly, can easily be beaten on that, because you draw the one guy into the screen, maybe say the top guy into the screen, and then the other wing, say you're going to the right side, the wing has to step up, and then all of a sudden you throw another guy to the corner, you throw that ball down there. There's just different ways to beat all that different stuff. It just comes down to what we were saying in that you have to have a defensive strategy / scheme and have communication. If you're going to run 3-2 against that, that's fine, but just rotate properly. If you're going to run man against it, that's fine, but just rotate properly. Have one of the guys of the three screeners go up over to the other side. Have one of them play below so none of those big men can roll. Have one of them, I mean, you just do whatever's necessary for the situation that has presented itself. I mean, you basically, like I said, just analyze and figure out what the opposing team's offensive strategy is, if they so have one. Some bad teams don't. But, figure out what their offensive strategy is and appropriately defend it and attack it.
Yeah, and don't freak out if you've got a shot creator or a slasher who's getting screens at the three-point line. Make them prove they can shoot. Like, most of the time they won't be able to. And if you're playing man-to-man defense, just the most important thing is inside position. We've all gotten stuck with a sharpshooter. Hey, you're a sharpshooter. I get stuck at the four sometimes and walk on, and I have an athletic finisher. Just get in their way. Make it hard for them to do the things that they do, and most of the time, if you're able to throw some arms up or just kind of body them, you'll force a pass or a bad shot. And the only thing I would say to you is every archetype except for the lockdown defender has like 70 to 75 rated on ball defense for the most part. So everybody's playing with the same deck. So don't be intimidated. Don't be frustrated, because there will be something that works. But if you're going to walk on and you're playing by yourself and things aren't going well, you just got to suck it up and do what you feel is best, because a lot of times you got people playing with no basketball IQ. You have people playing with inhibited means, like they might be hot, it might be drunk, and at the same time, if you're not in the party with these people, you don't know what they're thinking. And even if you were in the party with these people, you still might not understand them. So bottom line is, know what your matchup is and play to their strengths, because that's the best way that you'll be able to combat those. And like me personally, I have not been a good defender, but this year I feel like I've gotten a lot better because I played a lot of park. And when you get matched up on playmakers and you don't have a fast position, you learn really, really quickly gapping, spacing, especially dribble moves. Like, what these people are trying to do while they're doing it. So one of the things that I've learned from the Baron of Boards and Blocks is a lot of times they do these dribble moves. We'll just say like the mid-level dribble gods, quote unquote, do these dribble moves to end up in the same place. All they're trying to do is to get to the baseline and to the hoop. So if you notice a pattern, just wait for them, because that's where they're going to go. And then when they find out they have to go the other way, a lot of times they're not fluid with their dribble movement, and then they're forced to pass before 23 seconds runs out on the clock and everybody is happy.
Yes, I would agree with a lot of that, man. One thing you were saying that kind of just got me thinking was playing to the strengths or what have you against your archetype. Now, it's funny because for the vast majority of 2K players out there, I mean, it just really is the reality of the situation, is most slashers, like 90% of slashers, can't shoot. You know, most glass cleaners can't shoot. Things like that really do play to what the opposing player can do. However, if you're playing at top-level competition, those slashers can shoot in the corner and hit a three every time. Those glass cleaners can shoot in the corner and hit a three every time, things like that. So my point is that assess your competition, just kind of going along with everything Mike said, in that you want to assess your matchup and assess who you're playing and what their strengths are and what they can and can't do. Because if you're just playing a walk-on against some random people, that slasher's not going to be able to shoot from the corner, shoot anywhere, really. He's not going to be able to shoot threes like that. But if you're somebody who's playing Elite Six teams, you're playing the top-level competition, now, obviously, that's something you need to cover because those players can hit that. You know, it just depends on what skill level you're playing against. It really, there's a wide variety of skill levels in 2K. It's just the reality of the situation. I just feel the need to mention it because there are people out there playing at the top level. I mean, there are people doing those things, but at the same time, for the vast majority of the people, it's not really going to be an issue. Just, again, play to what the archetype is supposed to do and just play it based off that.
And you're basically going to learn in that first quarter what in-game adjustments you need to make with your matchup based on what they do. And I know this is a defensive segment, but every archetype has the ability to hit mid-range shots. People just don't do it. I'm telling you, 85% of the 2K community is either shooting threes or trying to go to the rack. So put that in your bag of tricks, man, because you can pop those mid-ranges off and it's still 2 points. And if you can add that to your game and you are a slasher, then you're going to have those defenders come out a little bit on you, and then you could slip by them and go to the hole, whatever. But, you know, it's all about in-game adjustments. It's all about observing who you're playing. And most importantly, yeah, you may play with some Elite Six competition, like Max says. When that happens, take the same philosophies with you. Just understand, well, I'm going to make this guy shoot. Sure, but once he proves it once, then you're going to have to adjust quickly. Because my thing is, if you see something happen once, it can happen again, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's a good point about the mid-range as well. I can green a mid-range almost every time with like a 30 mid-range. So even if you don't invest into your mid-range, now maybe this is going to change for 18. Hopefully it would. But just, I mean, for as many 2Ks as I can remember, the mid-range game has always been completely unbalanced. The contested mid-range is the most ridiculous shot in 2K. A contested mid-range shot will go in like every time. It's unreal. I mean, it really is something wrong with sliders that, It's just a mid-range shot that gets contested, especially on a closeout. It goes in every time. I'm not advising you to take contested mid-range shots, but I am saying that it's just one of those things where if you have an open mid-range, fire it away, because you're going to make it more often than not, especially if you're a skilled player and you know your release and you can green that. And if you've invested into your mid-range at all, I mean, I usually put most of my players up to about a 70 mid-range. I just have a couple that don't. But you should be able to green that shot every time. It's a viable weapon for sure. And especially as a sharpshooter, it's something that is very useful as well, just while I'm on that tangent, because as a sharpshooter, people expect you to shoot a three every time. They expect you to try to do those things, get to those spots. But if you throw them a little pump fake off the catch and then scoot in for a mid-range and stop and pull up, or whether you're doing a dribble move to get by them instead of doing a step back or something to put yourself in a three-point position, it can take them by surprise. It's all part of our, you know, defensive things that we're getting at, I mean, I guess. But as a defender, you need to be ready for those things. But you also just need to figure out the tendencies of people. But that mid-range is a viable weapon.
You know, especially if you're a sharpshooter bombing things from every which angle, if you do that for a while, that's where they're going to come out and contest you at. And I'm not so sure that the mid-ranges going in like crazy from every archetype isn't done on purpose. I feel like maybe that is 2K's way of making the game more welcoming to first-time players or whatever, but I just feel like people are just in that three-point take-it-to-the-rack mindset where you don't have people settle for those mid-range shots very much. And they should, because, like you said, high percentage shots. I'd be surprised if you took nothing but mid-range shots for the duration of a cycle, you know, for a 2K season, if you wouldn't be shooting 85% or more.
Yeah, that really is true. And, yeah, maybe they did do something on purpose there. They've had it in the game forever. Maybe something just hasn't changed, what have you. But all I know is that slider needs to be toned way down because it's just ridiculous. But whatever, it is what it is. Take advantage of it. So, Mike, do you have any other defensive tips?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know the bitch, wrap it up because you don't want to walk away with some crazy three-letter.
That's playing STD. Defense.
You know what I mean? No, if you get beat a lot or you feel like, you know, you're doing everything you can, play D on a guy and he gets by you quickly, go to the park and, like I said, man, arm's length away, make these players prove they can shoot. You're going to have players that are going to get by you regardless. They're going to have moves, but it's all about in-game adjustments. And the most important thing when it comes to playing defense in general is assessing your matchup as the game goes on and just getting better as the game progresses to the end. How about you?
Yeah, I got a few things we can throw out there. One would be, It's kind of differing opinions on this. Most people say not to hold left trigger while you're playing defense. Run yourself around, especially because you don't have the defensive lateral quickness unless you're a lockdown defender this year, because that's the only archetype that can play defense. So if you're holding the left trigger, you're going to be shuffling more. 2K shuffle, bat, bat, I do the 2K shuffle. And if you hold the right trigger while you're holding the left trigger, you'll do a faster shuffle. It allows you to move around. But a lot of people say not to hold it because it won't draw you into things like screens. You can run around faster, maybe do some other things like that. Just the way you move. Personally, I like to hold the left trigger a lot on defense. It's just the way I kind of play. I hold the left trigger a lot. I do use the right trigger so that I can faster sprint, keep along with people. But sometimes you just have to assess, again, where you're at. If the ball handler has maybe gotten a step on me where he might get the edge around the corner, I'm going to have to hold off the left trigger and open up my hips and hold the right trigger and maybe sprint to a spot to cut him off. And then you can hold the left trigger for intense defense again to try to stop him. But, you know, you just have to kind of assess how you're moving and how quickly your player can move, depending on what archetype you are, and kind of go from there. Take angles in your defense. Use the right stick on defense. People don't use the right stick, and it's a valuable tool. This year, they kind of changed the right stick mechanics in that pressing isn't the right word. I guess moving the right stick in any one direction does a different steal animation. If you move it to the right, you will try to attempt to steal with your right hand, left hand, up. If you move the right stick up, it will attempt a strip steal. And if you move the right stick down, it will attempt a dig steal. So essentially, you can just press X in certain situations, but the right stick is useful as well. If you've got a ball handler who's kind of dribbling the ball a little bit, maybe he's done a hesitation move, especially after those hesitation moves, you can strip the ball pretty easily. I would press down on the right stick. You can attempt a dig steal, and if he's just dangling the ball in front of you or one of those things, you can get some of those steals pretty easily. If you're maybe playing near the rim and you've got a guy driving at you, you can press up on the right stick for the strip steal, and you can attempt to get one of those strips, and it works really effectively if you time it correctly. If you're down in the post or playing somebody near the basket where you're trying to contest a shot near the basket, move the right stick up and hold it. When you move the right stick up, or I should say in a direction, your hands go up. If you move it, especially, I just like to hold it up a lot. Basically, the vertical defense that they coach in the NBA, where you're standing in one spot, you're holding your ground, being as tall as possible. Those are just some of the things off the top of my head that I can think about.
So what you're saying is it's important to use the stick right.
That's what she said.
Yes. Understand that it is, I don't know, I don't have a witty pun for this, but yeah, use the stick correctly.
And I'll just kind of interject on the left trigger thing. If you hate holding the left trigger because it draws you into animations, you can always go into your options and turn that off.
Yeah, you can change. That's another thing. That's a good point. Is you can change a lot of your defensive settings. So you can change your defensive assist down to zero. That will basically completely eliminate you from getting drawn into some certain animations and things like that. And like he said, you can turn the shot contest thing. You can change your shot contest. So you can change your shot contest to manual or intense defense or always.
Who is Manuel?
Intense defense will be if you're holding left trigger, you will always contest the shot. Sometimes that will draw you into a contest animation when you weren't even close to a guy, so that can be iffy. Manual is you're always going to have to hold the right stick to put your hands up, and always will just always contest things. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that setting, but that's that. And like I said, the defensive assist down to zero will help you not get drawn into certain things, but you're on your own out there. 50 is the normal setting. It's typically a good setting for most normal people just because it doesn't help you too much, but it also doesn't hinder you and keep you from doing things to that you would necessarily want to do on defense. It's just an easy setting. But a lot of people do play with zero, so that's something to try out if you're maybe struggling with some animations and things on defense. Those defensive settings are things that people just don't think about. I mean, that's the you know, like the absolute versus camera relative for your pro stick on offense. I mean, those are just some settings that maybe some people don't realize that are there that can really change the way you play the game.
That's true. And if you have a pro stick, you might want to consider porn. So,
well, I think in that sense that it would be a pro stick. Right.
Or Stuntcock, Orgasmo. But let me ask you, well, not let me ask you, that's pretty much the defensive side. Defense is very important. Well, folks, tune in to the next show where Max will teach you all about his Lego collection and how he came about his Lego collection. And maybe we'll talk some 2K if he wants to do some research. How about that? Is that better?
Sure, whatever.
No, I don't fucking know. Next time on the NBA 2K Shuffle, we'll talk about all the latest NBA 2K18 news and notes, and we'll have something a little different for you on the 2K side of it. We're not going to spoil it by letting you know because we don't know, but you will know as soon as we know, and that will be very, very soon. So, for everyone's favorite flat earther, Max McDonald, I am Michael Barr, Huggy Mom, tip your waitresses, and most importantly, if you are a glass cleaner, go guard that stretch bit. Don't complain. Catch you next time on the 2K.
Hey, Shuffle.
I'm out this bitch.